Have you seen the price of gold lately? It's hitting all-time highs. And when it comes to investing in gold, check out Noble Gold Investments. They have a track record of excellence that's second to none. Just look at their thousands of five-star reviews on Trustpilot, Google, and the Better Business Bureau. Customers rave about their knowledgeable staff, smooth investment process, and life-changing results, which you can see for yourself online. That's the kind of reputation you can count on. But it's not just about the reviews. Noble Gold Investments truly care about their clients. They take the time to understand your unique needs and goals, and they give expert guidance every step of the way. That level of personalized service is rare in this industry. Look, when it comes to securing your financial future, you can't afford to take chances. Go with the gold company that has earned the trust of countless investors. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com/Tim Pool today and discover why Noble Gold Investments is the only choice for smart, secure gold investments. Or give them a call at 877-646-5347. Again, that number is 877-646-5347. Make sure to head over to timcast.com, click join us, and become a member to support our work directly, because this show is made possible thanks in part to viewers like you. If you like the work we do, become a member, and you'll also get access to uncensored, members-only shows from Timcast IRL, Monday through Thursday at 10 p.m. You can also join our Discord server and talk with like-minded individuals. Now, let's get into that first story. One of the big questions pertaining to RFK Jr.'s run is who will he steal the votes from? He is viewed largely as a spoiler candidate, although there are many people who think he could actually win. We've gotten some messages from Timcast members saying, if RFK Jr. were to actually debate Biden and Trump, he would win the presidential election because he would do so well. Maybe, maybe not, I don't know. But I believe now, especially with this article from CNN, it is clear that RFK Jr. is going to take votes from Joe Biden. The polls show as much. His political ideology shows as much. And the question then becomes, is RFK Jr. doing this on purpose to help Donald Trump? I've been saying this for a while. He has to know. He's pulling progressive votes away from the Democrats, which means he is a spoiler for Biden and Trump will win. And I think he does know that. Now, I'm not going to pretend I can read the guy's mind. Maybe he genuinely wants to win and he wants to defeat Trump. But in this article from CNN, they write, RFK Jr. argues that Biden is a bigger threat to democracy than Donald Trump. In this segment, my friends, I have another breakdown. There's a tweet about Matt Taibbi's response to why he's focused on Democrats. I think it's important to point out Matt Taibbi is late to the party that many of you have already been at because you've been here since 2016. I have somewhat been there, but more so 2020 with deciding to vote for Trump over Joe Biden. And for Matt Taibbi, he does great work. He more recently in the past several years has started going after the uniparty establishment, principally the Democrats and their corporate buddies. He breaks down exactly why. And I think it's important you all hear this. Now, there are many people who may be voting for RFK Jr. I suggest, if you could, share this video and let's hear what RFK Jr. has to say and then what Matt Taibbi has to say about the Democratic Party. From CNN, independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. argued Monday that President Joe Biden is a greater threat to democracy than former President Donald Trump. His argument, made on CNN's Aaron Burnett Out Front, centered around being blocked on social media platforms during the Biden administration, which he labeled as an effort to censor political speech and undermine the First Amendment. Quote, I can make the argument that President Biden is much worse threat to democracy. And the reason for that is President Biden is the first candidate in history, the first president in history that has used the federal agencies to censor political speech, so to censor his opponent. Kennedy pointed to his removal from social media platforms, which he attributes to pressure from the Biden administration, as evidence of the president's efforts to censor political speech. I will pause now and let you all make sure you're all aware. There's an active lawsuit right now that I believe is in the Supreme Court pertaining to this specifically, because the Biden administration's DOJ was in direct contact with the White House saying things like, why aren't you taking this person down? Why hasn't this person been banned? Now, the argument is At these federal agencies, we're simply pointing out rules violations and flagging them the same as anybody could. Unfortunately, that argument is bunk. Federal agencies had back channels to the executives at Twitter and other platforms. So, as I jokingly mentioned the other night, the only day that mattered in my life when I was on Joe Rogan with the executives from Twitter, I pointed out there are numerous far-left accounts that threaten violence, organize violence, and break the rules, and they don't get banned. But you get the editor-in-chief of the Daily Caller saying, learn to code, and he gets suspended instantly. And then you say, it's just flagging like anybody else. So when the federal government has law enforcement agents and intelligence agents directly emailing the executive saying, this should be banned, that's no different than someone flagging a tweet. Then why are these leftist tweets staying up? Now, Twitter, of course, is no more. It is now X and owned by Elon Musk and greatly different. But let's read how they frame this one. Kennedy pointed to his removal from these platforms. Kennedy's Instagram account was suspended in 2021 for repeatedly sharing debunked claims about the coronavirus or vaccines, but was reinstated last year shortly after he announced his presidential campaign. Meta, Instagram's parent company, cited his White House bid as the reason for restoring Kennedy's account in a statement. In December, the Supreme Court blocked Kennedy from joining a challenge to a case brought by the Missouri and Louisiana attorneys general concerning the Biden administration's communications with social media companies about posts the government views as disinformation. Kennedy currently has a similar case pending in a lower court. Kennedy, who has made freedom of speech issues a central focus of his campaign, testified last year before the House Judiciary's Committee subcommittee on the weaponization of the federal government. Kennedy was invited by House Republicans to speak as part of their investigation into alleged censorship against conservatives at social media companies. I would just like to stress, but perhaps better, shriek as loudly as I can while banging my head on the wall. It is not a theory or a perception. It is a historical fact. Social media companies were censoring conservatives. And I can't believe I have to do this every single time, but I'm going to. I am going to pull up the original article that kicked this whole thing off, because it's important. I know that many of you have friends and family members who will say, it's not true. 8 years ago, from Gizmodo, not a conservative website, former Facebook workers, we routinely suppressed conservative news. This kicked the whole thing off. What happened? Conservatives' news outlets would share stories and Facebook would delete them and censor them, remove them from the trending tab. And so instantly, many people started saying, whoa, like the Daily Caller, the left just says, it's all fake news. It's not. Better rating than MSNBC, by the way. But MSNBC is allowed, despite the fact that NewsGuard rates it as a conspiracy theory website. They really do. I always got to do this. Because I know this one's for the lefties who may end up watching this video. So we'll just pull up that there old good old MSNBC.com. And NewsGuard gives them a 49.5 out of 100. Proceed with caution. This website generally fails to maintain basic standards of accuracy and accountability. CNN, on the other hand, has a much better 80 out of 100. The website mostly adheres to basic standards of credibility and transparency. MSNBC is garbage. But they were suppressing conservative outlets that had a higher rating. Because that's the censorship game. They've gone to say that he's made it a big issue. Kennedy said that while he believes Biden and Trump are both ill-suited to be reelected in November, he does not believe rhetoric suggesting either candidate would destroy democracy. He added that if he had to label one a greater threat to democracy than the other, he'd choose Biden because he feels the president has been weaponizing the federal agencies against his opponents. And that is also a fact. The independent candidate acknowledged that Trump's attempt to overthrow 2020 was clearly a threat to democracy, but maintained his belief that Biden is a greater threat. Quote, I think that is a threat to democracy. Trying to overthrow the election clearly is a threat to democracy. But the question was, who is a worse threat to democracy? And what I would say is, I'm not going to answer that question. But I can argue that President Biden is, because the First Amendment, Aaron, is the most important. I'm not going to defend Trump on that. And it was appalling. And there's many things that President Trump has done that are appalling. The Democratic National Committee responded to Kennedy saying the statement that there is no comparison between Biden and Trump. You're right. There is no comparison. Biden went to Merrick Garland, his attorney general, and said, prosecute my political opponent. New York Times reported this. He called him something, a studious something or other, and said, stop being so studious and go after Trump. And they did. Now Trump has criminal charges. And of course, I'm sure many on the left will say, but Trump was an insurrectionist, so he should do this. So if the question is, there has been no investigation into, there has been no proper adjudication of the Texas v. Pennsylvania Supreme Court case. That's the appropriate way to phrase that. And we're sitting here, those of us who pay attention to how this government is functioning, concerned about what happens in 2024 when the Supreme Court refuses to answer questions of original jurisdiction. And then you've got Joe Biden trying to jail his political opponent. How about whatever it is you think the American people decide? This is the fascinating thing. The Supreme Court already ruled you can't remove Trump from the ballot. But here we are. Joe Biden says, I don't care what the American people want. Now, understand this. Let's say that Donald Trump did engage in insurrection. He didn't. He literally tweeted out, go home peacefully, obey law enforcement, etc. And let's say he did.
It's another morning, and you're all set for work. You grab your coffee, head out the door, and your car decides today's the day it won't start. Panic sets in. You're not just late, you're stranded. Get ahead of unexpected car repairs before they strike with CarShield, the most trusted vehicle protection company. For almost 20 years, CarShield has saved millions of drivers from repair nightmares with low monthly plans that cover up to 5,000 major parts and systems, like pricey transmission and engine repairs, and check engine light mysteries. Visit CarShield today at carshield.com/Carlson. Plans include unlimited miles, 24/7 roadside assistance, help with flats, lockouts, and rental car options. Save 20% and get a free quote by visiting CarShield online at carshield.com/Carlson. Don't wait for the next surprise. Choose peace of mind with CarShield. Go to carshield.com/Carlson and save 20% today.
Let's say Donald Trump said, I'm the true winner and I refuse to leave office. And the majority of the American people said yes. Explain to me what democracy is from your perspective, leftists or liberals. What's democracy? Do you believe that if Trump is so dangerous, Joe Biden, even though he does not have democracy on his side, should remove him and prevent him from being able to run for office? Or does democracy mean that even if Trump has been accused of these worst things, and even if he did them, the people must have their say? Right now, we can take a look over at all these polls. What do we have? Trump's winning. YouGov, Trump's up by 1. Harris X, including Kennedy, Trump is up by 2. Harris X with no Kennedy, even 50-50. From Ledger, Trump is up 41-37. That's amazing. They also, Canadian Press has Trump at 47 and Biden at 43. Beacon Research, Trump 51 to Harris 45. That's funny. You have this one, same company. Now it's Trump v. Biden. Trump is up 5. When you add Kennedy, Trump remains up 5. So my point is this. You may hate Trump. You may think Trump is the worst person ever. But if democracy is your goal, then the American people can choose to vote for whoever they want. Removing Trump from the ballot is not democracy. It's fascism. Joe Biden trying to imprison Donald Trump is not democracy. It's fascism. And so tell me how it's democracy to stop the people from being able to vote for the person they want. I'm sorry. Democracy means the majority rules, right? We all vote and whatever happens, happens, even if it's unjust. Now you understand why we are not big fans of democracy. You see, as Benjamin Franklin put it, democracy is two wolves and a lamb voting on what's for lunch. And liberty, I believe he said, is a well-armed lamb contesting the vote. And therein lies the challenge. In a direct democracy, the most evil person could still win. So if you are sitting here saying Trump is bad, he's evil, he shouldn't be president, I got bad news for you. Real bad news. Well, our democracy has decided he should be, at least right now in the polls. Maybe we'll see something different in November. Perhaps there's a lot of news and a lot of opinions can change by then. But for now, Biden's attempt to imprison Donald Trump, as well as these other states, the stripping of his assets, fly in the face of democracy. Right. Now, many people ask, why are people like me, Matt Taibbi and others, so heavily focused on Democrats? I remember a few years ago, my mom asked me this. Like, oh, you make all these videos about Democrats. What about Republicans? And I said, oh, OK, yeah, I'll make a video about which Republican. Well, the Republicans do bad things. I'm like, OK, what did they do? Huh? See, my mom, since then, asking a good question, she then says, OK, and started paying attention. Now she's like, you're right. I totally get it. Matt Taibbi breaks it down. April Harding tweeted, Matt Taibbi was asked, why doesn't he pay much attention to the sins or threats from the right? And he gave a great answer. And this is the exact answer that I gave many years ago. Not exact, but it's very much in line. Why I don't spend a lot of time on the Republicans? One, there's an enormous army of mainstream media reporters already going after them from every angle, with most major news organizations little more than proxies for the DNC, to the point where stations hire Biden spokespeople as anchors, Jen Psaki and MSNBC. More importantly, they're usually lying. And so even if a Republican does something bad, the coverage that needs to come out is, stop making me defend this person. Back in 2017, 2018, a lot of the segments I was doing was, stop making me defend Donald Trump. But they wouldn't. And that was it. Trump would do something kind of stupid, and you'd say, yeah, that was dumb. And they'd act like he murdered a kitten. And you'd be like, no, he did not. They say, Trump said Mexicans are all rapists. No, he didn't. That's a lie. Two, Republicans have very little institutional power nationally. It's not their point of view prevailing in schools, campuses, newsrooms, where over 90% of the workers are reporters vote blue, and especially in the intelligence and military apparatus, which has openly aligned itself with Democrats. Even if Donald Trump were a threat to democracy, he lacks the institutional pull to do much damage, which can't be said of Democrats. I made this point during the Trump's first term. The one good thing about it is it's one of the first times, or the first time in my lifetime, that the executive branch has had its power checked and rescinded. So when Donald Trump can't even stop riots, yeah, I'm not super concerned about the threat to democracy. When Joe Biden tells his AG to arrest Trump, to criminally charge him, I'm pretty dang concerned. Now, I agree. When Trump was saying, we're going to lock her up, you'd be in jail, I was like, whoa, man, I don't like this. I don't like this talk. I didn't vote for Trump in 2016. And then guess what? Trump did not arrest Hillary Clinton. He did not do any of the things they claimed he was going to do. The economy was doing well. He was securing our border. He brought back auto manufacturing to Michigan. It was pretty great. Three, the Democrats' ambitions are significantly more dangerous than those of Republicans, from digital surveillance to censorship, to making intel and enforcement agencies central players in domestic governance, all plans being executed globally as well as in our one country. They are thinking of on a much bigger and more dangerous scale than Republicans. I lived in third world countries, and the endless criminal indictments of people like Trump and ongoing lawfare efforts to prevent even third party challenges are classic authoritarian symptoms. The Republicans aren't near this kind of capability. Correct. Four, last and most important, Democrats are being organized around a more potent, but also much dumber, more cult-like ideology. People like Yuval Harari and his transhumanist divinity concept scare me a lot more than Republicans. And I was once undercover in an apocalyptic church in Texas. Ask your average Russian or Cuban what overempowered pseudo-intellectuals are capable of. I have a pretty good record of picking dangerous phenomena ahead of time. I feel confident on this one. And that's before we get to the demographic class shifts in the parties. Yeah. Democrats are the party of the ultra wealthy. That's been true for a long time. I'll get this one for you. Party of the Rich, Vox.com, going way back to 2016. And it is now a fact. Democrats are replacing Republicans as the preferred party of the very wealthy, June 3rd, 2016. Majority of six-figure incomes are voting Democrat. That's the reality. And their argument is, we're smarter than you. They're not working class. That's not the reality. The reality is they're uppity elites who think they're entitled and they deserve things, and there's a threat coming from the working class against them. Now, the last thing I want to give you is to help all of you understand what Matt Taibbi is saying and what RFK Jr. is concerned about. What is wokeness? Bryce Green, I love when they do this. Always pick the low-hanging fruit. Don't you dare ever come onto Timcast IRL and face down a real debate. He says, Kaya, libs of TikTok, you can't do anything in peace. You can't do anything in peace being shoved down your throat wherever you go. I think he meant without wokeness or something. He says, LOL. Haya says, do you have a question? It's something funny. Me, I do. How do you define wokeness? Haya says, wokeness is the destruction of normalcy, etc. Let me play the video for you.
Of our lives. It's in our kids' schools. It's on college campuses. It is in the workforce. It is in the streets. It's when you go to the store. I mean, like, you can't do anything in peace without this wokeness being shoved down your throat wherever you go. So, do you have a question?
I do. How do you define wokeness?
Wokeness is the destruction of normalcy
Sure, I can easily define wokeness for you, and I've done it many times. Woke is broadly defined as cult-like adherence to leftist social orthodoxy. Now, in and of itself, that seems relatively broad, and it is. The reason? Leftist orthodoxy changes as it has no moral foundation, though its current iteration is strongly rooted in critical theory, postmodernism, and their derivatives. Meaning, you have postmodernist thought, you have critical theory, critical race theory, critical gender theory. What is critical theory? Let me slow you down. Rooted in Marxist ideology that there are the oppressed and the oppressors. Critical race theory believes that there are oppressed and oppressors not based on class, but based on race. Kimberly Crenshaw, when she wrote the book, and I believe many other scholars contributed, argued that Marx did not understand racial dynamics in other countries because where he comes from was largely white. And although there were ethnic issues in the United States, the white versus black phenomena lends itself to the idea of an oppressed versus oppressor being rooted in race. Thus, critical race theory was born. Critical gender theory is typically similar in that men, the cis heteronormative patriarchy, etc., etc. Now, the reason why I say it's cult-like adherence to leftist social orthodoxy is that leftist social orthodoxy changes because there is no moral foundation. Postmodernist thought, let's dive into that. Woke is typically rooted in, there is no truth but power, end quote. It was the late David Graeber, an anthropologist, who said, this is several years ago, that elements of the left have adopted fascistic ideologies such as, there is no truth but power. That was a key component of Nazism. I am not saying that woke people are Nazis, although they share a lot in common with typical authoritarian regimes. Now, Haya Reichick perhaps could not on the spot adequately define wokeness, but I could give you a whole breakdown. There are many people, like Ben Shapiro, for instance, and Haya, for instance, who want to define wokeness and say it has to do with postmodernism, blah, blah, blah. The reason why I say that's wrong is because woke, as a political faction, does describe certain phenomena that changes, and so we may be able to identify key components of it today, like critical race theory. The issue is the overarching faction of leftist social orthodoxy that we associate with wokeness is broad and meaningless. Now, hold on. What does it mean, meaningless? Ask yourself why it is that the same people who are woke defend Ukraine war. What about, I don't know, critical race theory lends itself to waving a Ukrainian flag? Okay. What about defending minorities getting preferential treatment in the workplace has anything to do with COVID masks, vaccines, and lockdowns? Nothing. Literally nothing. So what does woke mean? Well,
recession and inflation are here. Gas, housing, and everyday goods are up, way up. And you want to be ready for any situation. So what would you do if there's no food on the shelf? Arc Heirloom Seeds are here to help. Did you know 99% of seeds sold today can't reproduce? With heirloom seeds, you only have to plant once, Then you can grow year after year, giving you and your family stability and security because things are getting crazy out there. Our all-in-one seed kit provides everything you need to grow your own food. This premium seed kit has over 65 varieties, 50,000 seeds in stores for 15 years. You'll also get our exclusive seed guide to make growing a no-brainer. ARC Seed Kits is a family-owned and operated business and the most trusted name in the nation for over 15 years. Our mandate is to get heirloom seeds into every home in America. Go to ArcSeedKits.com today and get free shipping by entering promo code podcast. That's ARKSeedKits.com. Promo code podcast. Get your seeds, get prepared, get growing. ArcSeedKits.com.
You can find different groups of people who identify key components of wokeness in various ways, and they will tell you. Wokeness is postmodernist thought in a modern context, blah, blah, blah. And then I pause and say, the reason why I define woke as cult-like adherence to leftist social orthodoxy is because if you were to take a broad view of all of the criticisms of woke, that's what you get. Hyper-focusing in one area will wield you its critical gender theory, its postmodernist philosophy, its fascistic tenets. It is critical gender theory or critical race theory. It is critical theory. It is Marxism. All of these different things are because constitutional Republican moral foundation Americans are looking at one component of what woke is. And so what do you end up seeing with woke? It is the leftist social orthodoxy. Now, there are people who follow the leftist social orthodoxy who are not woke. Why? They don't adhere to it in a cult-like fashion. You may describe these individuals as default liberal. You meet them and they say these things and then you ask them, and they go, honestly, I don't know that much. I don't know. I just saw that. There's no cult-like adherence to it. So wokeness is typically, for instance, a big brand puts up a Black Lives Matter flag and says, we agree with Black Lives Matter. That's woke. Why? It is the cult-like adherence to a leftist social orthodoxy that is fleeting. Black Lives Matter is not even in the conversation anymore. Let's entertain this. The Black Lives Matter Global Foundation was accused of funneling money into private properties and other crazy, ridiculous expenditures. And now it's no longer an equation in the woke world, but woke persists. Why? Because woke is defined as cult-like adherence to leftist social orthodoxy. So when we say, when the average person says, this is woke, you need to ask them, whittle it down to the granular, what you specifically mean. But I will tell you, the reason why I define it broadly is this corporation adhering to leftist social orthodoxy for no reason, with no explanation, no ideology, and no moral foundation. Bud Light got woke, went broke. What does that mean? The company had no idea what's going on. They just decided to march in lockstep with the likes of Dylan Mulvaney. Of course, the media will lie and say it was one promotional can. Wrong. Bud Light hired Dylan Mulvaney to grab a bunch of beer cans, promote March Madness a year ago, something like March Madness, and was paid reportedly six figures to do so. The media then obfuscated this by claiming it was all an outrage over one promotional can that never even got sold anywhere. Wrong. The outrage started when Dylan Mulvaney did a paid commercial for Bud Light. So what is woke? It is exactly that. Bud Light decided to get on board with leftist social orthodoxy for promotion, and which this includes gender ideology and things of that nature, and then they lost $1.4 billion. So, to wrap this all up in a neat little bow, the right, the quote-unquote right, the far right, whatever, of the culture war, is a disparate group of varying ideologies that often disagree with each other, hence the difficulty in organizing. Woke is the left marches in lockstep, terrified in a Mexican standoff of being canceled. And so they adhere to a ever-influx leftist social orthodoxy, which doesn't really mean anything other than you are a part of the swarm or else. To put it simply, while we currently do say that woke has strong components of postmodernism and critical theory and Marxism in it, for the most part, the people who are woke are just in a swarm of wasps, worried that if they break ranks, they will be attacked by the hive. So they just march in lockstep. Woke. And so, I wrap this up, good sirs and madams. RFK Jr. must know what he's doing. The polls show he's helping Trump. He thinks Biden's the bigger threat. Coincidence? I don't think so. I'll leave it there. Next segment is coming up at 1 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then. Recently, a clip from the Joe Rogan Experience went viral, where Joe Rogan was talking about a video that many people had been mentioning on various shows. Four individuals walking seemingly unarmed in Gaza, and then killed in an Israeli airstrike. Three rockets are seen briefly in the frames of the video, obliterating these individuals. Questions arose as to why these individuals were killed. What threat did they pose? We don't actually have those answers. Now, me, I hate to jump the gun. I just don't know. In the clip, Joe Rogan, he essentially says it's something akin to genocide. He doesn't explicitly say they're engaging in genocide. He said something like, you had people who are victims of genocide who are now going to be doing the same thing. Of course, the internet went wild saying Joe Rogan calls what Israel is doing a genocide. Well, because of this, because of these issues, and especially with Israel, Democrats are bleeding supporters. And we can see this in all the latest polls, even stretching back a year, well before the October 7th attack on Israel. The latest news that's going viral right now is that an aid organization called World Central Kitchen is pausing operations after several of their vehicles were struck and these aid workers were killed. The Times of Israel reports aid organization says seven workers killed in Israeli strike in northern Gaza. We have this update from the Washington Post. Aid group says Israeli strike killed seven. Netanyahu says civilians hit unintentionally. Now, the activists are quite upset. They said three vehicles, it's being reported, three vehicles were struck in different locations, indicating that this was a targeted attack. Now, the vehicles in question have the emblem of the aid workers on it. Of course, many are arguing it was not an accident. The belief is that Israel's intentionally taking out humanitarian aid because they are trying to strangle out and destroy the infrastructure, civilian or otherwise, of Gaza. The Washington Post reports, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Israeli forces unintentionally hit innocent people in a tragic incident after World Central Kitchen said seven of its aid workers were killed. The food aid nonprofit blamed the Israeli Defense Forces and said it was immediately pausing its operations in the region, saying Tuesday's victims included a dual citizen of the U.S. and Canada, nationals from Australia, Poland, and the U.K., and at least one Palestinian worker. Israel also announced an independent investigation. Key updates. The bodies are awaiting evacuation. World Central Kitchen confirmed seven killed in the strike. Now, Israel has admitted to this, and they said it was an accident. I don't think that matters. We're dealing with war. And more importantly, as I see it, if the U.S. is funding this, then there has to be accountability. The Prime Minister of Australia is demanding accountability. This one's interesting. He says that it is unacceptable and Australia will seek full and proper accountability. Of course, early on, before the admission, many news outlets were acting like we don't actually know what happened, but this is true. And this is just one example of what we've seen consistently in the Israel-Gaza conflict. Now, I'm not here to get into a big debate over war morality. I can simply say I am of the faction that thinks we should not be involved. And I take issue, very serious issue, with American citizens and innocent individuals being killed when the U.S. is providing these weapons and paying the bills. Latest news that Biden's going to be selling a bunch of fighter jets. I take issue with this, too. It's a lie. We're not selling anything. We grant billions of dollars in aid to Israel, and then they buy from us? Get out of here with that. That's the game they play. But my question is, and the bigger issue here is, how will this impact the election in November? Vox reported in March 8th, are Biden and the Democrats finally turning on Israel? Biden's new plan to build a pier on the Gaza coast seems to say yes. The continued military aid to Israel says otherwise. There's some polling coming out from Gallup showing that right now, and it's a rare occasion, Democrats are in the minority. Republicans, it's 30% to Democrats, 28%, with 41% independent. But of those independents, it's split fairly evenly left and right, giving the Republicans the advantage moving into the 2024 election. And now, with the issue of Israel dividing Democrats substantially, it stands to reason Democrats are going to bleed out massive donors, massive support, who will then flock to Donald Trump. Trump says Jews who vote for Democrats hate Israel and their religion. From March 19th. I love the photo they use. They get that frame of Trump yelling. Very creepy. Trump, in an interview, had been asked about Democrats' growing criticism of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu over his handling of the war in Gaza. "I actually think they hate Israel," Trump responded. "I think they hate Israel, and the Democrat Party hates Israel." Trump, who last week became the president's presumptive nominee, went on to say, "Any Jewish person that votes for Democrats hates their religion. They hate everything about Israel, and they should be ashamed of themselves because Israel will be destroyed." It's getting absolutely wild. Take a look at this from March 16th, 2023. "Democrats' sympathies in Middle East shift to Palestinians. Net sympathy for Israel in the Middle East situation by party ID." So this is net sympathy for Israel. The percentage is more sympathetic towards Israel, minus is more towards Palestinians. And we can see that among Republicans, 67% sympathize with Israel. Among independents, 17% sympathize with Israel. And among Democrats, 11% side with Palestinians. Net support among Democrats is against Israel. Me? I'd probably fall similarly in the independent camp, which is fairly obvious. And my view is largely, I don't think we should be involved. I don't think we should be funding these overseas campaigns. I don't think we should be involved in Ukraine, nor Israel. And I don't want to ignite a moral debate over the issue, because it's fascinating how many of these people who hate Israel won't stop spamming everybody. It's all they do on Twitter. They just hate Israel. It's like, oh, geez, you are deranged. That being said, I don't need to have a moral argument with people if we agree the U.S. should be funding itself and not foreign wars. The end result will be we secure our borders, and that's the right thing to do. We bring back our jobs. We rebuild our infrastructure. How about that bridge over in Baltimore? We can start by rebuilding that. But when you take a look at the data, going back to March 2023, you see this is actually a long time coming. This was well before the October 7th attacks. Democrats were already on the side of Palestine. So naturally, when we saw October 7th, what do you expect? Many leftist organizations started defending Hamas. Activist groups in New York. Now that's insane. Look, I don't want to be involved in any of it. I don't know why you'd support Hamas. Here's Vox's report. Biden's new plan to build a pier would say that they're abandoning Israel. Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S., with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code POOL at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code POOL at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code POOL. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. For years, there have been signs the Democratic Party's historic support for Israel might be wavering. Joe Biden's staunch support for Israel after October 7th seemed to suggest that this theory was overblown. That when push came to shove, Democrats would always revert to the centrist pro-Israel position they had taken for decades. But in the past few days, it started to feel like the winds might be shifting again, both in public and private. Biden and his deputies have fumed about Israel blocking aid from entering the Gaza Strip. Administration officials told reporter Barak Ravid last week when over 100 people were outside an aid convoy that it was a turning point. Of course, the White House can complain all at once. It's meaningless unless accompanied by actions to push Israel toward changing course. This is fascinating. Democrats are screwed. There's nothing they can do. Let me show you this. I believe I have a tweet from Brianna Wu. Brianna Wu says, "I watched my 20th CNN segment yesterday about the risk Biden runs with Muslim voters in Michigan, and it's real. What I don't understand is why no one is talking about the opposite risk with Jewish voters. There are about twice as many. It seems like our party doesn't care. And this is what it brings us to. People are quitting the Democratic Party. Perhaps they'll vote for RFK. I have no idea. Democrats who support Israel are going to leave the party and vote for Donald Trump. And we are seeing this with the likes of Michael Rapoport. Interestingly, Joe Rogan of sorts appears to be on the other side of this, or at least someone in the middle, critical of Israel. But he has said he can't vote for Joe Biden. So what does this mean? If someone like Joe Rogan is coming out and saying, you can't vote for Biden, he's not there, but then mentioning these criticisms of Israel, I think you see a larger problem for Democrats. Even when someone is critical of Israel, they're still willing to vote for Donald Trump. Yeah. Donald Trump recently came out and said and told Israel to stop their war because they're losing support internationally. But it doesn't matter. None of this matters. Ain't no way I'm going to be voting for Democrats or Joe Biden or the corrupt machine, which gives us an interesting predicament. I don't want funding going to foreign wars and foreign governments. I don't want funding to go to Ukraine, Israel, Afghanistan, or otherwise. America first. We should take care of our borders. The joke I always say is, I will gladly give Israel our entire budget, excuse me, for the year. Let's say $1 trillion to Israel. I say we sign that bill right now that says as soon as we take care of our border, as soon as we've solved homelessness, as soon as we've solved the immigration crisis, as soon as we've solved the energy crisis, as soon as we've improved the economy, lifted everyone out of poverty, and when we have truly no other problems left in this country, then sure, Israel can have some money. My point is, that's never going to happen. We have our own people to take care of and work to do. But here we are funding foreign wars and foreign countries, giving them money for which they then buy jets from us that we're paying for. Quite literally makes no sense. The end result is this. Donald Trump likely will support Israel. He likely will fund Israel. He's shown that he's willing to push back a little bit, sure. But the end result is Donald Trump on foreign policy is infinitely better than Joe Biden. So even though I'm of the attitude we shouldn't be funding any of these countries, and Donald Trump likely will provide funding and push for that, I'll still vote for Donald Trump. Michael Rapoport hates Donald Trump, but because of the Israel sentiment, we'll still vote for Donald Trump. Joe Rogan is concerned about what Israel is doing, but still said on more than one occasion, you can't vote for Biden. He would vote for Trump over Biden. And thus, here we are. Party affiliation from Gallup, the latest data as of March 2024, March 1st through the 20th. In politics as of today, do you consider yourself a Republican, Democrat, or independent? 41% said independent. 30% said Republican, 28% said Democrat. Now, if you were to ask me, I'd say independent for sure, leaning Republican, meaning I don't like the Republican Party. I think they're awful, but I'll probably vote for them. We'll see. Trump is a given. This will be an interesting November. Now, the question of these independents is interesting. They then asked the independent specifically, as of today, do you lean more Democrat or Republican? And it's 44% to 45%. Margin of error negligible. It's split, which means you do the math. You have roughly 18% of independents going Democrat and 18% going Republican, giving Republicans a 2% edge against Democrats, which didn't used to be the case. Even going back to February, Democrats appeared to have the edge. If we look at the data, it's comparable. 45% of independents said Republican, 46 said Democrat, and Democrats were 30% to Republicans, 28. But there's been a big shift. I'll tell you why. Israel. The Democrats can't survive this. People like Michael Rapoport, he's the greatest example. A guy who would go on Twitter screaming, insulting Donald Trump, is now saying, voting for Donald Trump is on the table because of Israel. That's how much people care about supporting Israel. And we are seeing Democrats bleed minority support. Democrats in Biden's home state are leaving for the Republican Party in droves, voter data shows. This is from December. Democrats are losing minority voters. They're losing pro-Israel voters. What will they have left? This fringe far-left faction? You reap what you sow. It's fascinating. This puts the deep state in a very dangerous position. You see, the U.S. military-industrial complex, the deep state, the intelligence agencies desperately want to support Israel. The only problem now is the vehicle by which they can do it is not the Democratic Party. Now, I have to wonder, U.S. military doctrine. Right now, the U.S. is deeply invested in Israel. They say it's a great ally in the region, stabilizing force. And there are a lot of great things about Israel culturally I can respect. And there's a lot of bad things militarily that need to be criticized. But the issue here is that the deep state clearly wants Israel to exist, to function, and to be utilized for U.S. intelligence gathering operations and weapons manufacturing, etc. in the region. Democrats have lost. Republicans are outright pro-Israel. What do you do? The deep state has fought tooth and nail to stop Donald Trump, but now they have no choice but to support Donald Trump if they want to maintain support for Israel, of which it would still be relatively weak. But compared to what you're getting from the Democrats, oh boy. You need only look over to TikTok to understand the severity. The deep state is upset. Why is it that the Democratic Party is now anti-Israel? TikTok. Yeah. Take a look at Twitter, X. Elon Musk is accused of anti-Semitism. He meets with some with the ADL. He meets with some Jewish leaders. And now he takes a strong stance against harsh criticisms, anti-Semitism. There have been many people who have complained that they've been banned for their criticisms of Israel. Now, I don't know the veracity of those claims, but certainly I've seen some things that suggest Elon Musk ain't playing around with people who are targeting Israel and Jewish people. Though I wouldn't go so far personally, and I'm not saying it's not true, I'm just saying I wouldn't assert whether he is for or against. I'm just saying, simply put, I'm willing to bet the deep state intelligence agencies went to Elon or people at Twitter and all these companies and said, these are our priorities. And the evidence for this is conjecture, but you take a look at TikTok. The deep state can't go to TikTok and say, change this. It's China. But they can try to ban it. Now, I suppose it's an issue of the enemy of my enemy is my friend as to why I think we should ban TikTok. I don't like what Facebook and YouTube and these other, Instagram, what they do. But at least we have the ability to file lawsuits, to file FOIA requests and figure out what's going on behind the scenes. And we've done this, especially with whistleblowers and journalists. With TikTok, we have no access to this information. So I'm willing to accept that for different reasons, the deep state and I think TikTok should not be functioning here, or at the very least should be divested from the CCP and bought by some function in the United States. The real reason? The CIA wants to be able to control the information that appears on TikTok. And there is a lot of anti-Israel information and criticism and fake news, for sure, misinformation on TikTok. Young people are watching that and they are being driven by the algorithm to hate and oppose Israel. Now, many of the people who hate and oppose Israel want to defend TikTok, saying it's our only counter social media platform that allows us to speak. That's a lie. TikTok is the most censorious. You try to push pro-America views, banned. You criticize wokeness, banned. Why? They don't want you defending your nation. They want to weaken the United States. So they push weird gender ideology stuff. They push far leftism and they advocate for Palestine. Many people argue maybe that's just what people want, Tim. Maybe that's just the demand of young people. They want to defend Palestine from Israel, but certainly. But many of these people don't even know what's going on, don't know the history. So why would they be so heavily invested? Doesn't make sense. No, the issue is that data suggests the algorithm is intentionally pushing an anti-Israel stance on young people, which is fracturing the Democratic Party, creating quite a predicament. The deep state may have just lost. It's over. I'll tell you why. Certainly, there's a shadow campaign happening right now to stop Donald Trump from winning. But the deep state, being between a rock and a hard place, has to decide. If the Democrats win, they will have some limited capabilities to maintain support for Israel. But with the rising tide of young people being pro-Hamas, and I'm not saying every, I'm saying there is a rising tide of young people who are pro-Hamas, literally. The risk here is the Democrats won't be able to get anything done. They are going to be protested, and there's a large portion of the Democratic Party. In fact, net support is against Israel. So what do you do? And there's the big challenge. No matter what they've lost, If the Democrats win, they'll be paralyzed and unable to expand their military doctrine. If Republicans win, they may get some support for Israel, but Trump overwhelmingly is going to pull our troops out of the Middle East. He's going to enact peace deals, and thus may be the end of the military-industrial complex. It's kind of wild that we're seeing all this. Now, some have suggested, we were talking about this last night, with the upcoming election in November, Trump's mass deportation policies and campaign, if he were to enact that, the Democrats are going to call him Hitler. They're going to show videos of children being taken from their parents are deported, and they'll say it's happening. Michael Malice is saying California and New York would immediately mobilize their National Guard to defy Donald Trump were he president. Man.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I do not have all the answers for you, my friends. What I can tell you is Israel being one of the most important strategic locations for the deep state, either ideologically or strategically, they're not going to be able to maintain this support. Trump is not going to give them the foreign incursions and excursions they want. He may defend Israel, but how far will that really go? Look at Vivek Ramaswamy, who Trump very much likes. Vivek says they can take care of themselves. They can defend themselves. They should defend themselves. And it's going to be on them, not us. Democrats are condemning Israel. You've got leftist activists chanting from the river to the sea. Whatever would a deep state do? Unless, of course, we're all just chickens in a chicken coop and the deep state has planned all of this out from the very beginning and Donald Trump becomes some kind of, I don't know, foreign war hawk or something like this. I don't know. What I can say is the data right now shows that Democrats are bleeding support massively for a variety of reasons. They're losing voters because of their passive support for Israel, and they're losing voters because of their criticism of Israel. They literally can't win. When you see this shift over the past month, and I got to give a shout out again to Michael Rapoport. I mean, even Anna Kasparian is starting to lose it over the left's policies. What is this? Is the real conspiracy that the deep state wanted to invigorate American patriotism, so it created the woke boogeyman to push everybody to the right to support Republicans? Otherwise, I got no idea what their plan actually is, other than losing. But I suppose we'll see. I'll leave it there. Next segment is coming up at 4 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then. I met a guy this past weekend, as I often do, playing poker. And it was a fun conversation. The dude seemed to be a rather middle-of-the-road guy. And he said that he voted for Joe Biden in 2020. And boy, does he regret it. Things could not be worse. From the post-millennial, Bidenomics. Americans need a six-figure salary to afford a median-priced home, according to a study. The study reveals the average home buyer needs to earn over $110,000 annually to afford the median-priced home in 22 states. Thanks, Joe Biden. Here's this guy saying that he didn't like Trump. He voted for Joe Biden. He thought Trump was bad. It's funny. I guess you had nothing to compare Trump to. The funny thing is how great it was under Trump. But the media was incessant and people bought the lies and they voted against the man. And now Joe Biden has driven this country into the dirt. Now everybody's struggling. At the same time, the media is lying about everything. And oh boy, do I have a great way to break down the lies for you. And I'll show you how the media plays this game. First, let's talk about how Joe Biden screwed you over. The average U.S. home now requires a six-figure salary to afford, marking a significant increase compared to pre-pandemic levels, according to a study by Bankrate. The study reveals the average home buyer needs to earn over $110,000 annually to afford the median-priced home in 22 states. This represents a substantial jump from 2020, when the average home buyer only needed to make approximately $75,000, a 46% increase. During the same period, median home prices have surged from $290,000 to $412,000, marking a 42% increase. Holy crap. And it's young people who are going to bear the brunt of this. It's going to be Gen Z, who at 25 years old should be starting a family and buying a house. They're not going to get there till they're 40. That's the terrifying reality. I mean, it almost feels like it's on purpose. You will own nothing and you will be happy, making it so it's impossible to be able to live anywhere. Let's break this down. You can't go off into the wilderness and build a hut. They won't let you. You'll likely be arrested. There are certain areas of the wilderness you could go. And if you went into the middle of nowhere in Wyoming and started building a cabin and living off the land as if you were some nomadic tribesman with your family, you know, if they found you, they'd take your kids from you. You can't buy a house. So what do you do? The system is strained and it feels like it's almost on purpose. It's hard to say why, but I don't think it's a coincidence that the people who complain about there being too many people, who complain about climate change, at the same time, are the ones in power who are enacting policies that destroy the economy. I suppose if you want to live this way, struggling to eat and feed your kids, maybe not even having kids, sure. The celebrities come out and they say, I don't have any kids. I just sleep in all day on Saturday and then wake up with my wife and smoke pot. That's fulfilling to you? Wow. Man, that's absolutely brutal. But that's the world they want for you. It's no surprise we hear all these stories about people who are trying to get medical assistance and dying. Have some kids, have a family, find faith, find community, find passion. They don't have it. It'll be up to us, those of us who can maintain our composure and our mental fortitude, to make sure that humanity does not die out. Because as these people self-immolate, figuratively, we have to remain strong and steadfast. That's why I call on all of you, at the very least. Get fit. Do your best. I'm not saying be like Arnold and get super ripped or anything. You know, I'm talking with my personal trainer. We do Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Although I have missed a few days because I'm massively exhausted. Like, I skated for 2.5 hours and then did an hour of strength training. And I was like passing out. And I'm like, I'm not working out tomorrow. Like, need a day off. I'm not saying you got to drive yourself to the bone like I do. Go for a walk. We've got to be strong because the people in power right now are trying to destroy us. They are treating us like a burden, like a problem who shouldn't be and shouldn't exist. And there are many people who are weak, who will waste away, who will advocate for the sterilization or the abortion of their children. And whether you have kids or not is besides the point. The message must be strong. The strong must survive. The strong protect the weak. The strong survive. They build things and make it better and protect the weak. And we can do that. But you have to be strong first. You have to secure your own oxygen mask before putting on the mask of those sitting next to you. That's your mission. Be the best you can be. Honest question. Are you the best you can be? This is what I was thinking to myself. It's been, I'll pull up the actual number right now. I've been skateboarding, rollerblading, mostly skateboarding my whole life. I rollerbladed for about a year. Don't really use it that much anymore, but the cardio from rollerblading is so much better than skateboarding. Sorry, skateboarders, go cry all you want. But full body workout when you're rollerblading on the half pipe, it's intense. VO2 max for like an hour, drenched in sweat. I love it. But mostly we're filming, so I'm getting back on the skateboard and focusing on that. Not so much VO2 max. Well, basically, for those that are familiar, it means like maximum oxygen output where you're getting into aerobic is turning into anaerobic because you're burning too much too quickly. But I want to see if I can pull up the information here. I think I should be able to see how long I've been going on with this here personal training. I believe, I just got a warning. Based on your total calories, you are not eating enough. Well, okay. Eat more nutrient-rich meals or whatever. What does it say? The National recommends no less than 1,000 to 1,200 calories. Completing your diary with fewer than the minimum calories noted above will not generate a news feed. What is this? I don't even care about weight loss. I don't know. Where's I think it's like 45 days. Oh, here we go. What is this? Oh, wow. Look at that. This app's great. I'm using MyFitnessPal. Anyway, this is a great app. This is really fascinating. I think it's like 43 days now. I don't know. 43 days or whatever of having a personal trainer. And I'll tell you why, not that I wasted your time for a minute. But so There was a period a few years ago where I was up to 200 pounds, and it was mostly fat. I mean, I did skate and rollerblade a little bit, but I wasn't really going that heavy. I was getting heavy. And I just thought one day I was like, I haven't had any sugar all day. Why don't I just go keto? So I did. And boy, did I lost 20 pounds almost instantly. It was crazy, like within a month. And then there was a lingering amount of weight that stayed on. But then I started rollerblading more intensely, which was just pure cardio. It was really, really fun. Really fun stuff. Skateboarder, core skateboarder people, like, they're so stingy. Like, no fun. You can't have fun. Fun's not allowed. Oh, bro. We got a scooter. We got bikes. We got pogo sticks. We're going to have fun with all of it. It's exercise, man. And so I ended up losing then another 12. I went down to 168. And this was a year ago. I'm now at 180. And I'll tell you why. We've been doing lifting, strength training, and I've been skating a lot more and eating a ton of protein. So it looks like in the past year, my body fat percentage did go up a little bit, but mostly it's now it's back on a downward trend as muscle is being built up. And so anyway, the point of all this is I thought to myself, am I the best version of what I could be? Am I maxed out or am I lazy? What could I be doing to be the best version of myself? I owe that to everybody who's a member at TimCast.com, to everybody who watches my videos. How could I sit here and waste an hour even? No. 45 minutes to an hour. Strength training, lifting, 3 days a week. Why not? What else am I going to do? Normally in this period, I exercise, I skate, and then I go and I'll have dinner and then sit down and relax and put on Fox News. It used to be CNN, now it's Fox News. And I'll take a break and kind of, you know, just rest a little bit in between the morning show and the nightly show. But it's usually like half an hour or whatever. And I was like, nah, we're getting a pro stretching and sports massage therapist. We're getting a physical therapist. I am going 100%. I ask you, are you the best version of yourself? Is there a period in your day where you find yourself bored and sitting around, start doing push-ups? There was a period this morning where I was like waiting for some clothes to dry in the dryer. And then I just started doing push-ups. And I'm like, I don't know why not. You know, and maybe it seems silly, whatever, but I just feel like, are we being the best? Could you be better? That's what it's all about. I take a look at what Biden is doing to this country. And I feel like victory is going to require more than just advocating to people to do the right thing and teaching them. It's going to require that we transform ourselves and make sure we're being the best we can. You know what else I'm doing? I'm cutting out corn. I'm cutting out seed oils. I'm cutting out all that stuff. I'm kind of fed up with all of it. I'm tired of hearing about seed oils. I'm tired of hearing about inflammatory stuff. I'm tired of hearing about trans fats. I'm just like, I'm done. Give me rice and give me chicken. Give me some broccoli or something. Although I got to be honest, I don't really eat the vegetables enough.
Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture, and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
I'm reading now that corn is inflammatory. I'm like, I don't care. I just done all of it. Gone. I will consume nothing but Jocko Mulk protein powder. No, I know that. I'm just kidding. But no, in all seriousness, I hope that maybe the best you can be isn't your maximum because it's hard to muster up that willpower. In which case, I would say maybe you could be ripped like Chris Hemsworth could, but your best brings you down to just you're in shape. You're focusing, you're studying, you're training, you're being the best version of yourself. That's what it's all about. I want to show you this. We have this from Yahoo Finance, Trump Media and Technology Group, currently trading up at $50. We have this story from CNBC. Trump media stock closes 21% lower after company reports $58 million loss for 2023. Well, yesterday they reported this, and it sounds certainly like, aha, Trump media is dropping. They want you to believe that Trump media isn't working and that it was a fad. They want you to panic. They want this to be the story. The real story? Dow futures fall 300 points as rough start to quarter continues on higher rates. Look, I'm going to pull up my brokerage app real quick. And I noticed this the other day. I pulled it up and I'm like, everything is down. It happens. Everything drops. What do we have? Everything is down. I'll tell you, I have Tesla. It's down. I've got Cabot. It's down. I've got Spotify. It's down a little bit. Rumble's down a little bit. AMC's down a little bit. DJT is actually the only one that's up. This is so nuts how they play this game. So I don't have a lot of stocks. I don't. Of the ones that I do have, they're all down. And then I look at DJT. It's the only one in the green, up 4.6% right now. But they tell you in the media it's dropping. They isolate one stock at a time when the whole market's in decline and say, Trump stock's falling. Dirty games, man. I tell you this, the machine wants you sick. They want you lazy. They want to strip you of your passions because you should own nothing. You will eat the bugs. You will live in the pod and you'll be happy. Okay. As we look at those people and we desperately beg them not to kill their kids, we reject the idea of this body positivity. We have a responsibility to practice what we preach, to be the best versions of ourselves. And I don't know. I don't know what it is in me that makes that fire burn. Maybe you don't have it. You know, we hear about New Year's resolutions. Everybody wants to get fit and get in shape. And then they don't. They sign up for a gym and then they stop going. I don't know how to break that. I really don't. One thing that helped me especially is, this is why I said I want a personal trainer. Because it's a lot harder when you're paying for something to break from it. Not everybody can do that. That's obvious. So it's tough. There are some days where I'm like, man, I really don't feel like doing this, but you have to do it. And then I got to tell you, afterwards, I'm so glad that I did. We were doing, we were lifting, and my trainer said, we're going to start with the 12s, and then maybe we can get some 25s in. So we were doing a few lifts using the 12s. It was biceps and triceps. And then he was like, do you think you can do the 25s? And I said, 35. And I did the 35s instead. And it was rough, but it feels so good afterwards. Indescribable. I feel like if people told me that lifting made you feel like euphoria, I just can't even describe it. Makes me feel like I could punch a bear in the face. That's how I describe it. Like, come here, bear, girl, I want to punch you in the face. Feels great. Feels so good. Maybe that is what we need. It'll clear our minds. It'll make us stronger. We'll be sleeping better. We'll be eating better. Then maybe the culture war is won because, not because we're all super, oh, I love this too. They're writing articles about it. Holy crap, you guys, there were hit pieces where they were like, Tim Pool and others are advocating that their audiences get fit to try and seduce us or some ridiculous thing. And I'm like, I don't know anything about what you're talking about. I'm telling people to be in shape, to be your best self. And they're getting mad because they want to be frumpy and lazy. They want to gargle Ben and Jerry's and fall asleep sickly. You know, man. Be the best you can be. That's no answer for what the economy is doing. I can't answer for what Joe Biden is doing. But you improve yourself, you improve your skills. It makes life easier. It really does. I'll leave it there. Next segment's coming up at 6 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out, and we'll see you all then. Cheers. The show. That's right. Many of you may have seen it. Many of you are old enough to remember sitting down on your couch and enjoying such a fine sitcom. Did you know the ages of the individuals on that show? Now, I was a little kid, like very, very little, when Cheers was on. I don't actually know when Cheers launched, like 87 or something. So I'm a little kid, and I was surprised to learn the ages of those in the show, and I think I can just jump straight to it. You've got Ted Danson was 35. Woody Harrelson was 21? There's no way. I don't believe that. It says that Kelsey Grammer was 27. I also read that he was 29. Either way, this guy, I don't know who he is, 35. Well, he's got gray hair. 34? Doesn't seem believable. Now, there are a variety of reasons for why I believe that millennials are not aging. And it has a lot to do with the internet. But we have this story. Man sparks furious debate after revealing his fascinating theory about why millennials are aging so much better than Gen X. It's not so much Gen X. These people are actually baby boomers. This was the 80s. They were in their 20s and 30s. These are boomers, not Gen X. But it is true that millennials and some Gen X, but the younger Gen X, but mostly millennials, are aging way better. There's an interesting thing about TV in general. When I was a kid, high schoolers were played by people in their 20s, and people in their late 20s looked like they were 40. That's the craziest thing. So we have this story. A man has sparked fierce debate after sharing his theory about why millennials are aging better than Gen X. Chris Bautista, who is this guy's 37 right here, began his now viral TikTok explaining, I'm going to say this for Gen Zers in the back that didn't hear me the last time. Millennials look fantastic for our age, and you cannot tell us otherwise. He specifically clapped back at millennials, many Gen Z haters, in adding, and the reason why you think we don't look great for our age is because we have set the new standard of what it looks like to age. He then offered some Gen X era pop. Yeah, but these are boomers. This is not Gen X. Al Bundy was 39. Look at this. George Costanza on Seinfeld was 31. You've got what is this movie? I don't know. He's a Father of the Bride. Steve Martin and Diane Keaton's Nina were both roughly 45 years old, and the actors were roughly that age. Cheers. This one's really fascinating. Let me zoom out a little bit so you can see better. It is crazy. Rhea Perlman was 34. These people, to me, all look like they're mid to late 40s. Mid to late 40s. It's wild. You got Homer Simpson. Do you know Homer Simpson was 37 when the show started? I think they retconned his age. They changed it. I wanted to make my peers feel good because we're at an age now where we're transitioning from being young into what society would deem as a little older, and it's a tough transition. I don't know. I just want to point out that's kind of weird because I certainly don't think so. He says, and it clearly resonated, having so far racked up 900,000 likes and almost 7 million views. Millennials have really signed onto the idea that 30 is not in any way, shape, form old. In some ways, we are tied to our youth because of the way the economy in the U.S. has been for our generation. He also speculated that SPF and being the first generation where it became uncool to smoke as contributors to millennials' eternal youthful glow. Well, let's break it down, my friends. I'm going to tell you there's many reasons. One, smoking a lot less, but people still do vape, but smoking a lot less, drinking a lot less, sodas a lot less, health consciousness. But there's one simple reason why millennials don't look so old. And I hate to break it to you. It is because we are locked in basements. Now, they do bring this up in the story, but that's the reality. I was thinking about this. I talked about it yesterday, and then I saw this story, and I'll go a little bit more in detail for today's 6 p.m. segment. It used to be difficult to stay home all day. You're sitting in your house. Like when I'm a kid, so millennials have one foot in, one foot out of the digital world. Gen Z is mostly raised in the era of the internet and computers and video games. When I was a little kid, we had video games, but you couldn't really sit inside all day. But we did more so than boomers and Gen X before us. So they say Gen X. These people are not Gen X. They are boomers. I mean, maybe Woody Harrelson. I don't know. I think pretty sure they're all boomers. And so what happens is the boomer generation has Pong, but not when they were kids. When boomers were born, there was no watching TV all day. There was no video games. There's nothing to sit inside and do. If you are bored, you have to go out and do something. Sunlight. And then sunlight ages you. It does. And these people spent significantly more time out in the sun than the next generations. So then you get Gen X, which in their late teens and early 20s started getting more into the internet and spending more time inside. So they do look a little bit better, but it really, really is just the sun. Now, I think it's fair to point out health consciousness, smoking, etc. But for many of us, as long as I can remember, my family's had a computer and we had video games on the computer. It's crazy because I remember getting like Sega and Nintendo when I was a little kid, being excited to play the new games. I remember my dad renting SNES from Blockbuster to play the new Super Mario World. Wow, and we only had it for 3 days. Bummer. And then eventually I got my own SNES and I saved up and was able to buy Mega Man X. Yeah, Mega Man X. So there were days when I was a little kid where I'd sit inside playing video games all day, something that the previous generations never did. Exposure to the sun was minimized, and that means less damage. And thus, we appear to have aged slower. Now, I certainly think our internal organs are probably aging at the exact same rate, muscles, you know, and all that stuff. But, you know, the other thing that's interesting to me is someone who skates, looking at the older generation of skateboarders still skating well into their 40s and 50s. You know, I've not seen Rodney. I don't know if you may know who Rodney Mullen is. If you don't, I will tell you. Rodney Mullen is the progenitor of modern skateboarding. He invented everything. If you see a kid riding down the street, every single trick that kid does is in essence, or I would say 99% chance, the tricks were made up by one guy, Rodney Mullen. And then everyone started adopting and adapting his style of skating and the tricks he invented. One guy did it. And I was talking to someone and I was like, I'm pretty sure that Rodney Mullen right now, who's in his 50s, let me pull up his age.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
How old is Rodney Mullen? He's in his 50s, I think. He was born in 1966. He is 57 years old. I am fairly certain Rodney Mullen would beat the average 19-year-old in a game of skate. Genuinely believe it, at 57 years old. And that may just be because he is a freaky genius with crazy abilities. But there are, you know, like Tony Hawk has certainly been aging, and he's been talking about tricks he'll never do again. And so he did a few videos where like, this is the last time I'll ever do it, because he's also around the same age. But it does certainly feel like people are taking better care of themselves, no less drinking, less smoking, and that insanely aged people so much. It's not just about the sun. We are, for whatever reason, this generation just doesn't want to drink. I think if you go back in time, not just to boomers, Gen X, or otherwise, drinking is huge. And drinking is still huge, don't get me wrong, people drink booze all the time. But now you get more so with millennials being like, I don't want to drink. Not interested. Me, personally, I don't drink. I might have a beer or a glass of wine once per year, usually for a celebration of some sort. Usually I'll do, like, I'll order a glass of red wine, get halfway through it, and be like, I can no longer drink this. I don't like it. I do like the idea of having resveratrol. So I do try to have some red wine, but I almost never have it. Never. And thus, we're aging very slowly. But there is something else, unfortunately. Something that I don't know how it happened, but it happened with boomers. And along with the millennials' devilishly good looks and slow aging process, there unfortunately is another component of the not aging. I ask this man who's 37, does he have a family and children? There is also the delayed onset of family. I think this is a lot to do with the way we were treated by boomers and the economy, but largely the way boomers treated us. And I think it has a lot to do with television and video games. I believe it started around the boomer era. Be whatever you want to be. It used to be that you took after your parents. Your dad would tell you, here's what I did, you do it too. And then we get the Industrial Revolution. We get hyper-specializations. As long as I've been alive, strangely, it's been, well, you go to school and figure it out. And so then what? What is being handed down? What's being passed down? Along with that comes this idea that you're young. And it's one of the most, I don't know, I think it's idiotic and grating because I hear it all the time. Now, obviously, someone who's 60 is going to be like, man, I wish I was 38. Oh, boy, I've heard that every day of my life. Obviously, I'm being hyperbolic, but I hear it all the time. When I was 18, the 28-year-old was like, I wish I was still 18. Everybody's always saying they wish they were younger, and I'm like, dude, you are where you are. You've done the thing. That's the weirdest thing to me. I see these movies, and I see these shows, and I hear from people in interviews and stuff, and they always talk about, you know, youth is wasted on the young. And I'm like, I cannot imagine being older, being 60, and being like, I wish I was young again. Because been there, done that. What's the difference? It's like, I did it already. I was 18 already. Had fun doing some things. Regret a whole lot. Now I'm 38. I'm doing my thing. And I'm sure when I'm older, I'll be like, you know, I could have done something different. But been there, done that. I think one of the problems for millennial generation is that boomers to this day treat them like children. There was this really funny Twitter post because they write these articles where they're like, millennials are doing this. And it's like, stop. Millennials are 40 years old. We're middle-aged. Stop acting like it's a bunch of shocking children. But for some reason, there are many people in the boomer generation, and again, I'm not saying all of them, but many in media especially, who still have this view that millennials are kids. It is that infantilization that I believe has contributed to the stunting of millennials, because there was never an expectation to be responsible, start a family, get a job. It's fascinating. There are many successful people who had kids at very young ages. Having kids made them grow up. It pushed them in that direction, and they became great. And I think that may be largely for most people what they need. It's wild. You nowadays still have older generations. You know, I'm talking on the phone with various industry guys who are in their 50s, and they're like, you're still a young man. And I'm like, you know why this is annoying? You need to stop saying that. Stop calling millennials young people. I am not young. I am 38 years old. I am not young. I am in the middle of my life. And I think, when does middle age start? Let's do this. When is middle age? I think it's like 40. 40 and 60. I am 2 years away from being middle-aged. So is 38 young? Was Homer Simpson young when The Simpsons started? And he had three kids and a house and a job at a nuclear power plant? Yeah. I think this is part of the problem, is that there is a permanent view. I was talking to this pro skater who's a little bit older, and he was telling me these stories. And he was saying, you're like, oh, I'm older now and all this stuff. And I was like, bro, to me, you're as old as you've always been. You know, when I was a teenager, 20-year-olds were old. And he laughed and was like, yeah, I totally get it, man. Like, that's like how we see it. But I get it. Obviously, there's a big difference between being 20 and being, you know, 60 or whatever. But we still have, for whatever reason, because of social media, I have no idea, cultural stagnation to the point where, instead of the trope of, you know, you're a young adult in your early 20s, it's time to start a family, get your own house, and start building a life, we continually tell, I love this when they're like, well, they're relatively young, they're only in their 20s. And I'm like, those are adults. Crazy. I think of that movie, Interview with the Vampire, when he was like, times were different. I was a man at that age, 24, master of my own plantation, 24. He was a man at that age. That's crazy. And this is the 90s. And that's the crazy thing to me about all of this, is that even back then, in your 20s, you were viewed as not being a man. Let me tell you something. When you're 15, you should be a pro. Sorry, that's the reality. And of course, you're not going to be your best until your early 20s. There are some things, some sports, perhaps you'll be better when you're slightly older, for sure. Skateboarding is a really great example. It's very pure. Pro skateboarders peak at like 19 years old. There's a kid right now, one of the best skaters in the world, is 11 years old. And that's crazy. But this is pure talent. There's no restrictions. It's just be the best you can be. And people really reach their apex in their late teens. Not surprising. That's the drafting age. So we get it. And we say, these are young men we're drafting. I guess, yes, they're young, but they are men. It's the wildest thing when I hear people say someone in their 20s, you're 26, he's just a kid. 26? Wild. What was the average age of having kids back in the day? It was like 20 years old or something. I think it was 22. Now it's 30 or 32. And I blame largely society as a whole for continuing to infantilize. I don't get it. I really don't. Boomers, many of which are holding on to wealth, which won't exist after they die. Seriously, consider this. A boomer has a house. The boomer dies, and this house is worth $1 million. The house is inherited by a Gen Xer or a millennial who then says, I want to sell it. But no boomer wants it. They already have their investment. They don't need more houses. They're aging. Maybe someone runs a business. Millennials, and Gen Xers can't afford to buy a million-dollar house. So what happens? Sits on the market for a long time. Maybe squatters take it over. And then finally, the millennial who inherited it says, okay, drop the price, drop the price, drop the price. So the wealth held by that boomer, a million-dollar home, drops down to about $300,000, $400,000. That wealth is erased completely. I mean, we'll see. I'm not saying it's a guarantee, but that does seem very much likely. boomers are going to leave behind very little in terms of wealth for the next generation, and it's going to be a weird reset. A bunch of people who don't have kids, don't want to have kids, and for whatever reason, are treated like children into their 40s. So while we may sit here and be like, millennials do look great for their age, socially, stunted. Anyway, I'll leave it there. Next segment's coming up tonight at 8 p.m., coming up at 8 p.m. So go to head over to youtube.com/TimCastIRL. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then.